again, everyone. This is EC Isles, the All Islanders panel discussion show presented by Isles Blog. I'm Joe Bono. Training camp starts Friday, preseason opener on Monday. It isn't October yet, but it's starting to quite feel a lot like hockey season. And with that, I welcome in, joining me again, Greg Nimzik, Jesse Funk. Gentlemen, how are you doing this evening?
Doing good.
Doing good. I mean, hockey season has really snuck up on us.
Yeah.
We're so excited about the baseball, obviously, with the Mets and the Yankees likely to have a postseason home game as well. And then football and all the debauchery Sunday night with the Giants. And then all of a sudden you have all this Islander news this week.
Yeah, really just hit me out of nowhere. Wasn't ready for it. But here I am. I'm ready now.
All right, well, we'll do this like we do it every time here on PT Isles. Our topics are down the left-hand side of the screen. Join us on Twitter. Join the conversation with hashtag PT Isles. So we'll start off, of course, with the unveiling, which happened on Wednesday, at the black jerseys. After years of speculations, months of worry, and weeks of jersey leaks, the Islanders' black third jerseys were finally revealed via social media on Wednesday, just after 8 a.m. to not so favorable reviews. Guys, we all kind of had a sneak peek at these things, but what were your thoughts on it after you finally got to see the professional photos, John Tavares in the uniform, got to see it from all the angles with the names and the numbers on the back? Jesse, let's start with you.
All right, so I first want to say when the leak came out, I hated it. I was bashing it on Twitter just like everyone else. But now that I saw JT wearing it, I don't know if it's because just JT is wearing it. I'm like 80-20 liking it. I don't know.
Right? Like Jesse just said, going into it, I was not happy with it at all. Then yesterday, I saw it in person, actually. I was at the charity golf event, and it looks a lot better in person. But then I saw the whole full uniform that JT was wearing, and I don't like the Brooklyn on the helmet. I hate that. I don't like the whole black uniform. There's nothing else that I don't like it at all. The jersey looks sharp, but other than that, I'm not happy.
The jersey on its own, like if someone said, well, this is a hockey jersey, what do you think? I would say it's a nice jersey. There's elements of it I certainly like, and multiple people have said that in person it looks a whole lot better than it would if you were seeing it just obviously on Twitter or on Facebook or whatever. And listen, the thing that gets me going with the jerseys is really the whole Barclays marketing plan and the idea that somehow the Islanders need to be black and white because they now play at Barclays Center and they now play in Brooklyn. I've lived in Brooklyn my entire life. I don't know who made the decision that all of a sudden black and white is the official color of
Jay-Z,
Barclay Center, and Jay-Z decided black and white was going to be the color. So now they feel like they're just kind of forcing the Islanders into this kind of mode. And the thing that was most forced with the jerseys, Greg, you mentioned on the helmet trying to force the Y into the Brooklyn on the side. I felt that wasn't necessary. They just could have gone with a black and white crest of the Islanders circle crest. And I tell you guys, I'm saying this, I will not be surprised if there will eventually be a phase out, not of orange and blue necessarily, but of the Islanders' traditional logo. I can see the NY eventually being the primary logo with this franchise in Brooklyn.
That would not shock me at all, and it wouldn't shock me if they lose the New York and just go Brooklyn Islanders, and they're just the Brooklyn Islanders. I feel like this is just coming just because from a marketing standpoint, they're trying to bank on as much money as they could possibly make out of this. And that's basically what it all comes down to, is just to try and make money. There's nothing else really to do about it, because you change the name, you change the jersey, you change everything else, you know people are going to buy it eventually down the road.
See, I want to go back to the quick. I would hate to see the NY, like the New York name, leave the Islanders and become the Brooklyn Islanders, because that's just like heartbreaking to all of us. But going back to the black and white thing, Greg, we've had this conversation before. I mean, I think we went back to the Nets have a third jersey that is kind of like the Brooklyn Dodgers jersey. Now, why isn't that the Brooklyn color scheme, the gray and the blue? Mm-hmm. Now, we've talked about the idea of having the hockey jersey be like that, and I think it would look better than what it is now. But like I said, I'm not totally against the jersey as it is right now. The Brooklyn being on the helmet, if it's on the helmet, I'm not going to complain. It's not really on the jersey besides that little
It's not going to be overly visible. Yeah, they have the little tag, little kind of elements. They have the blue and the orange on the collar. There's certain elements about the jersey that I like. Everyone raving about the, you know, Al Arbor patch as if that was, you know, let's put a circle and put AL in the middle of it. Like that was some kind of brilliant marketing plan by the people that designed the jersey and designed the patch. Obviously, you have the four stripes on either side on the arm, although I think the piping is a little thin to represent the four Stanley Cups, as if the Islanders will never win another Stanley Cup. If they do, they're going to have to alter the tape on the stick. They're going to have to alter the jersey, so we'll see. And listen, alternate jerseys and third jerseys in the NHL tend to only, you know, last every 2 or 3 years. That's how usually the benchmark is, or the lifespan, I should say, of these jerseys. So we'll see. I'd say another thing while we're still on the topic, the kind of cross promotion and integration between the Nets and the Islanders. You know, they had the jerseys already made up for Brook Lopez and, you know, all these other Nets players that are posing for the jerseys. You know, an hour afterwards, they got Mayor de Blasio posing with it. So it's weird as an Islander fan because there's been so little attention towards the franchise for so long. So now there's an effort to market the franchise, but still it doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel authentic, at least not yet.
Yeah, I feel like this is going to become a type of thing where a lot of people are going to join on and they're just front runners. I mean, we don't know if the Islanders are going to be in the front for them to front run behind, but saying, yeah, but seeing like, I think even, I forgot which rapper it was, I think Fabulous or somebody, yeah. They posted, yeah, he posted one too and with his son. I'm just like, I just when are you even into hockey? Like, and now you're a diehard Islander, Brooklyn Islander fan. Like, come on, man.
So I actually was given this as a gift today. At the NHL store.
Look at that.
The snapback NY. So I did not purchase this. Someone was in there. They knew I would like it and purchase it for me. So I'll wear it for the duration of the show. Although I have kind of bashed or badmouthed the idea of the black and white jersey, even if I will end up liking it over the course of time, I feel as if I can't buy one if I want to be not called a fraud by everyone else on social media.
I must say, though, that's a nice looking hat.
Yeah. the NY logo, No, it doesn't matter what the color scheme is behind it. I'm down with it, especially on a hat. I'm so down with it. I mean, I'm wearing just a regular Islander hat, but
yeah, I bought the knitted blue cap, winter cap when they played at the Winter Classic. So the NY logo overall, I don't mind as a third. I just wonder deep down whether or not eventually they'll make a move to try to make this the primary logo for the team, and rid themselves with it of kind of the whole Long Island in the NY as part of the traditional jerseys. We'll see. I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, but it is worth watching over time. All right, let's go on to some news today. The Islanders made moving Michael Grabner, trading him to the Toronto Maple Leafs. Grabner played in just 34 games last season because of injuries, had the groin. He missed the first 2 months of the season recovering from surgery or repair, a sports hernia that he had there in the preseason. His best season, of course, was in 2010-2011 when he was a Calder Trophy finalist, scoring 34 goals and 52 points in 76 games. Islanders getting back pretty much prospects and one real NHLer from the Maple Leafs. So a lot of depth coming, and maybe a couple of these guys, 20, 21, 22 years old, former second, third round picks. One of them played in the OHL with both Ryan Strom and Joshua Holmstang. So we'll see. Greg, your thoughts on Grabner? We kind of knew this may be coming. He was dangled at the draft. He was shopped during the summer. We thought this may happen. Grabner finally on the move.
I'm with the hole that Garth got is just another. How can you say he's not a top three GM in the NHL right now? I mean, you got a guy with a terrible contract for a guy who never plays. He's always his hamstring hurts or something hurts his legs, and when he does get a breakaway, he has stone hands. So I mean, he's got the blazing speed. But stone hands, that was the best thing I saw on Twitter today. A Maple Leafs writer sent that out to it. He's like, I got a four-word review of Grabner for you guys. Blazing speed, stone hands. And that's what it is. So to get
– who is the guy in the Mighty Ducks that couldn't
– Mendoza.
Mendoza.
I'm a Mighty Ducks guy, so I was
he should have tried. Yeah, who the guy who played Benny the Jet Rodriguez in The Sandlot, yeah. And obviously we know you have a striking resemblance to one of the core cast members of The Sandlot.
Yeah.
So maybe he should have actually tried that move on the breakaways, come to the sudden stop and just kind of knock it in through the legs. But listen, yeah. He was good on the penalty kill too. Obviously injuries, I think, derailed him. But you look at this team, Jesse, and the depth at forwards. You know, $5 million, a $3 million cap hit for a guy who was going to only really be in the lineup if someone was really struggling or get injured, because he was a healthy scratch 5 out of the 7 games during the postseason when guys like, you know, Andrews Lee were a healthy scratch at times, and it wasn't an automatic where Michael Grabner was going to get into the lineup. With Islanders, struggled to score, and they struggled on the penalty kill most of the year, and still Grabner wasn't an automatic play for Jack Capuano.
Yeah, no, I agree. What I love about this trade is mostly the salary dump, because at the end of the day, I know Greg feels this way. Joe, I don't know how you feel. Garth's not done. There's another move that's going to be made before opening night.
Yeah. And he might, that might not be through an opening night, or maybe during the course of the season where they have some room. Obviously, the Islanders have a lot of prospects that are highly coveted. So if they're a player away, who knows what the Kyle Okposo situation is going to be down the road. So it definitely does give them some cap flexibility. It gives the Maple Leafs some cap flexibility. And the best line I thought about the trade is that there might not be any winners in this trade down the road, but there might not be any losers either. It's a kind of low risk, high reward move for both teams, both Toronto and with the Islanders. And of course, Garth making that trade with Lou Lamoriello, of course, who's now the GM in Toronto. And as a result, Steve Bernier, who was in for a tryout, gets a 1-year $750,000 contract from Garth Snow. So he'll be that depth forward most likely when the Islanders break camp and start the season.
I hope he's better than Eric Bolton. Simple as that.
Eric Bolton, man, he had a goal that final game at the Coliseum. You know, that was going to be a huge goal, lead him into home ice advantage. He has his moments. Listen, guy gets to put on an NHL jersey, skate with the team, go on the road trips, be in healthy scratch 85% of the time, and then throw some fists when he's in the lineup. He's taking shots at Eric Bolton. So, guys, we avoided the Brockalypse, or I don't know if I'm forgetting a syllable there, Brockalypse, as so many people called it, as Brock Nelson, the countdown to Brock Nelson facing the deadline where he would not be able to suit up for the Islanders this season did not come. He came down to the final hours, but the 23-year-old forward agreed to a 3-year, $7.5 million deal on the eve of the team's training camp. He needed to be signed again, guys, by the start of physicals, which was 7 a.m. this morning, or else he would not have played at the Charles Long rule that's been in play. Islanders the only team with this rule, and apparently the new owners, Malkin and Lembecki, are also going to adopt this rule. Remember, Sean Bergenheim all those years ago set out the season because of it, and it's got scary for a while. Nelson's agent, Ron Salter, who's been in the league forever, kind of called out Garth Snow, saying that they didn't talk for over 6 weeks, maybe trying to put some pressure on Snow to make a deal, but in the end, Nelson signs for 3 years, $7.5 million. Also, it was rumored and then later confirmed by Arthur Staple and others that he was actually offered a 7-year deal prior to last season and turned it down. He ends up with a 3-year deal. Greg, happy to see Brock back, I guess, but it really wasn't worth all this drama.
No, not at all. I'm glad that we got him back and at the price that we got him back, because I mean, for a guy like Brock, he saw what he was in the first half of the season. He did tail off in the second half, but he played decently in the playoffs. But what? So I guess that averages out to, I think, like $2.75 million a year, roughly, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, for a guy that's still young and could be a big part of the core of this team, I think it's a great signing. And I think this was more on the agent more than it was on Brock or Garth. I feel like it was the agent in a young guy's ear just telling them, hey, you deserve more than this. Don't take this and just do what I say, basically. And to turn down the 7-year deal, that's what I don't get. When I first heard that earlier this week, I was shocked by it, that a guy like that would turn down a 7-year deal. But it worked out. Got three more years at least with him. So hopefully he's here. He plays like he did in the first half, and he's here for a long time.
I wonder who made the first phone call, Jesse. Like, is it Brock's agent that finally, like, Garth Snow can't go to sleep early that night. You know, we can't miss the phone call if we have a text message.
Yeah.
I think it said around 9:30 or so they started working out the deal. But it's quite curious, was this the deal that was on the table all along, or in the final hours they finally agreed to a 3-year deal worth this amount of money? Because, you know, could have done what Andrews Lee did, which was take another kind of 1-year deal qualifying offer and then play his way into a bigger deal where Lee got locked up for 4 years in the offseason.
Yeah, the big thing I want to take out of this, this sounds like a Scott Boras agent. I mean, Scott Boras was the same thing with his clients. How do you turn down a 7-year deal? And you think maybe you can get more money or something, and then, you know, you end up having to take that lower deal, just like Scott Boras' agent did. And this whole
turning down that 7-year deal prior to the start of the season that Nelson had. It wasn't like it was middle of the year and he was on pace to score 40 goals and he turned down a 7-year deal. Like, the Islanders maybe thought he had that potential, but to offer a 7-year deal and lock up $20+ million guaranteed, turn that down, that's a gutsy move by the agent.
No, yeah, he reminded me, like, the way the agent just acted during this whole negotiation, it really just seemed like it was Scott Boras. And this whole Islanders rule with, you know, if they're not signed before training camp, then they have to sit out the year, I hate that. That's just stupid to me.
I like it. Why would they sit? I don't want my players sitting out in training camp or sitting out for a part of the season just trying to get a better deal. What good does that do for the team or for the player himself? You're sitting out. You're not doing anything. You're working out on your own. You're not even working out with the team.
Yeah,
I mean, I think the deadline otherwise gives you to December 1st.
Yeah.
And again, it's really only been one case that where the Islanders, you know, lost out of having a player help them that season in Sean Bergenheim. I understand the concept of the rule because the players have such little leverage. Unless you're maybe a Russian-born player, you're going to go play in the KHL for a year. But if you're a North American player, you really have no leverage. No one wants to go abroad to play hockey for a season when everything else is happening in NHL and kind of give up some of your prime years. So I understand how it works to your advantage. But again, the Islanders, you know, much like 15-year contracts, Islanders are the only ones doing this right now.
Yeah, I personally wouldn't be surprised if more teams do. I mean, they've been doing it for a while, so I guess if it would have happened, it would have started already. But I get why the players don't like it, and honestly, I'm shocked that the NHLPA hasn't really stepped in or done anything about this, because they're basically putting them in the corner and saying, if you don't accept this deal, you're sitting out and you look bad to the rest of the NHL. So that's kind of not right to do, but I do like it from a team aspect out of it, because
it allows
really wants him to be with the team all year.
It allows the team to lowball the player and give him pretty much an ultimatum and no other choice and back him into the corner. Now, I don't think Gart Snow lowballed Brock Nelson. He's not known to lowball his players. He knows that he wants to have a long-term working relationship with some of their best young players. But because of the rule, you could get a deal that is certainly undervalued. I don't think that was the case maybe here. It might have been a case of Nelson looking for more than, you know, really he should be looking at this point, especially after the second half he had. But it looks like the rule is here to stay, as it looks like the new owners will adopt the rule. Let's move on. This is a couple weeks old now, but we haven't had the opportunity to talk about it. So the Islanders will obviously bring over plenty of tradition, you know, despite the black jerseys, along with them as they move to the Coliseum, to Barclays Center. But one long-standing tradition will be very noticeably gone, and that is the Islanders Ice Girls. In their place, there will be a co-ed ice crew charged with, quote, helping create the best ice possible as mandated by the NHL. That was Barry Baum said that, who works with Barclays Center. Back in 2001, the Islanders were the first NHL club to create the cheerleader-style ice girl squad that, along with performing the promotional videos and acts during the game, were in charge with shoveling the loose snow off the ice and during the stoppages. Guys, this really bothered me. I did not see the reason to not bring them over. I heard some people say that they did not want to irritate a new fan base that thought it might be chauvinistic to have the ice girls, the way they're dressed on the ice, doing this type of a job. And I guess some of them will probably remain and be part of this COVID crew. I just don't understand why they felt it was necessary for the Ice Girls not to be Brooklyn bound.
Yeah, I mean, if they would have said, because I know Barry, his name was, right? Barry Baum, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He said that it was just because that's what Islanders fans said that they wanted when they asked a bunch of Islander fans. But if he would have came out and said it's a feminist, we don't want to make it come off that way, like you said, chauvinistic, I would get it more. But when they say that it's a thing that Islander fans don't want, out of all the Islander fans that I've spoken to, all I've heard is negative comments about it. So, I mean, I don't get what they're doing, but I know that they're keeping the Ice Girls for like the ice tour, like when they're doing the community events on Long Island and that type of stuff. So I guess it's just an on ice issue that they have with them.
I mean, I guess the San Jose Sharks got a lot of flack recently when they decided to go this route. I guess they felt that, and a lot of people go, well, hockey was the last, bastion of hope when it came to not going down this road of cheerleaders and, women and, these type of uniforms, et cetera. But I mean, I look at what the Ice Girls do and I look at what the Jet Flight Crew does during a game, or the Knick City Dancers.
Oh.
I mean, in a lot of respects, what the Ice Girls do is the most tasteful. And a lot of parents, hockey fans would bring their, young girls and young sons, and I'd take pictures with them, with the mascot, who we also don't think is making the trip. We don't think Sparky's coming either.
He's not.
Although we made it into the game. Sparky, Sparky's in NHL 16. The Winter Classic jerseys are in NHL 16, but the real thing won't be making the trip. I didn't see the reason. I don't know, Greg, if you read about this, is that the Flyers, they made the switch to a co-ed ice crew, and the crew got completely booed off the ice so often that they ended up going back to the Ice Girl. So first preseason game for the Islanders on Monday against the Flyers, and be curious to know whether or not they get booed off the ice as well.
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. I mean, knowing hockey fans, that's pretty much the way it'll go, I think. It's just going to be straight up booze. But Philly is Philly, so they did throw snowballs at Atlanta.
They did. So a co-ed ice crew. I mean, I guess, it'll be interesting to see what the mix in the match is here on the co-ed ice crew.
Yeah, and
is it going to be like these young 20-year-old girls and like 45-year-old middle-aged, overweight guys, that are kind of in their sanitation outfits with the snow? They're obviously going to have to be in some kind of a uniform, I would hope.
Mm.
I don't know if they could go halfway, just guy in jumpsuit, cleaning off the crease, and then, an ice girl outfit.
Yeah.
By the way, they had a ton of outfits. I blogged about this. I went through the years. They must have spared no expense in the Ice Girl costume budget, because they had about four or five different outfits every single year, every alternative jersey, Christmas time, holidays, military. They definitely took care of the Ice Girls, although the Islanders were on the salary cap for all those years.
Yeah, I think that's where they started using all their money instead of on decent players to come in and play up until
right.
About like 2 or 3 years ago.
All right, so we'll finish off with this. So this came out today. It was a big announcement I was really excited to make. Isles Blog and the 516 Alliance have come to an agreement with the Long Island Marriott, permitting Islander fans to tailgate in the shadow of the Nassau Coliseum. This is Saturday, October the 17th, prior to the 7:30 p.m. game against the San Jose Sharks at Barclays Center in Brooklyn. All the information is available at nyislesblog.com, as well as on roadicetravels.com. That's where the 516 Alliance is. And Greg, basically what we're doing here, people have tickets to the game already. It's a Saturday afternoon. Weather should still be good here in October. They show up at the Marriott. The Coliseum's still there and standing in the background. Tailgate, just like you would before an Islanders game. And then around 5:30, everyone's going to pack into a bus, have a party bus back down to Brooklyn for the game, and then come back and get your cars later. So I'm super excited about doing this for everyone.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm going to get the tickets to the game, but I'll definitely be there for the tailgate at the very least. So yeah, that's awesome. Like that's what would be like one of the biggest things about moving to Brooklyn, which sucks, is that this isn't going to happen. I don't even know if they have a park. I don't think they have a parking lot. I mean,
very limited.
Yeah, so there's not going to be tailgates like this at all. And you're going to get people drinking on the train, and it's just going to become a mess. But it's an awesome thing to get the Long Island aspect back into it, the community feel with the fans. And it's something that you're not going to be able to get going to a game on your own, I don't think, anyway.
And I honestly don't know how many other fan bases would even do this type of thing. Like, I, you know, as I was kind of having the conversations with the Marriott and working with Rob Miller with the 516 Alliance, you know, I was saying, I'm like, I don't know if another fan base would do this, but there's such an attachment to Long Island. And I think part of the fabric of being the Islander fan and being the anti-Rangers was the fact that they were able to have these tailgates, and especially during the playoff time, when the weather was great still and you'd be able to kind of go out there and it'd be 60, 65 degrees and grill and drink and go into there before a day game or a night game. I think it's going to be a great event, and talking with people at the Marriott, if this one's a success, they expect to do other ones throughout the course of the year and maybe bring in vendors and food vendors and drink vendors and really make it a really big time event for Islander fans. So I'm super excited. Again, go to nyislandersblog.com. Check out the post for all the information, as well as all the Islander Facebook groups and, of course, our Twitter account at IslesBlog. So, Greg, what's the first game you're going to get to this year? Is it on the calendar to get here?
I definitely want to go to at least one game for sure. I want to go to multiple games this year. But, I mean, as of right now, opening night, I've gone, like I said, I think on the last podcast we did, I've been going for at least the last 7-8 years, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it just because of the pricing. And it has nothing to do with the travel. I'm fine with the travel. It's just the price of the tickets. I don't know if it's really – I'll probably make it to a game. Like I know the Sharks tickets, they're less expensive because of who they are, and it's not a huge –
Listen, you make it up here. I got a couple tickets. You and I, or you and Fong, guys, to have my tickets. We got to get you in Barclays at least a couple times this year during the regular season, okay?
I'm definitely down for that. That sounds great to me, man.
All right. Well, that wraps it up for here. That wraps it up for us here on PT Isles. Of course, you can follow us at Isles Blog on Twitter. You can follow me at jbona611. Follow Greg Nimzik as well as Jesse Funk. Of course, catch their Mets podcast. Put it in the podcast. Exciting baseball in October, although these last two losses against the Marlins got me a little bit worried. We could talk about that offline. I'm worried about that three-game series against the Nationals at the end of the year. To me, the real lead is about 4, 4.5 right now, not really 7.5. But make sure you check out their podcast, follow them on Twitter, and follow us on Twitter for all your Islanders news in the coming weeks as the preseason. And then it will be October 9th, Islanders hosting the defending world champion Chicago Blackhawks at Barclays.
You've been listening to PT Isles, presented by IslesBlog. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at IslesBlog, and tweet us your comments, questions, and topics using the hashtag PT Isles. You can watch every episode by subscribing to the IslesBlog YouTube channel or view it at nyislesblog.com. To listen to PT Isles and the IslesBlog podcast, search for IslesBlog and subscribe via iTunes.